It's Friday. That must mean it's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In just a few minutes, we'll find out why this spring has resulted in one of the most widespread fish kills in decades in our ponds, our lakes, and our rivers. Also, Jacqueline Hallbloom will be along with a preview of the Iowa Arts Showcase on our classical service. Also, an infectious disease specialist from the University of Iowa will tell us about the WHO, the World Health Organization's first global report that declares antibiotic resistance a major threat to public health. And finally this hour, Iowa nice guy Scott Sipker with his latest video. It happens to be a tribute to his father, who lost his battle with cancer not too long ago. But first, let's start off with the legislature at 8:50 this morning. The Iowa Senate officially adjourned the 85th Iowa legislature. This year's session, which convened on January 13th, lasted 110 days. Joining us now with the latest and a look back at the 2014 session, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
I understand this morning, before that very early adjournment, just one piece of business before the adjournment. What was it?
It was a resolution to allow the Senate Oversight Committee to subpoena witnesses as they continue to investigate the hiring and firing practices of the Branstad administration.
And what are the implications of that?
Well, they have until the they have these expanded – the subpoena is just one part of their expanded authority to investigate, and they will have until the end of the year. They're continuing – as you know, this started off as an investigation of confidential settlements awarded to laid-off state workers and also offers of cash in order to keep those settlements confidential. But it has expanded to other facets of hiring and firing by the Branstad administration.
Mm-hmm. So with this resolution, any work on this in the summer, or we wait till the next session, or what happens?
Oh, no. They all along they had the authority to continue to meet, and it's been apparent for a while that they plan to continue to meet after the legislature adjourned. But it takes a resolution, and they do have subpoena power, but it takes a resolution passed by the Senate in order to activate that subpoena power. And that's what they tried to do, like at 5 a.m. on Thursday morning.
Okay.
They couldn't bring it up. They had to have unanimous consent to bring it up for a vote right away, and the Republicans locked up and wouldn't give their consent for it to be brought up right away. And so the rules allow them to let a day pass and then come back and bring it up. And that's what they did this morning. There was never any doubt that it would pass because of the 26 vote majority. Mm-hmm. But they did have their 26 members there today in case anyone asked for a roll call vote. In the end, they passed it on a voice vote this morning.
So undoubtedly more chapters to that little story at the mm-hmm. legislature. House Speaker Craig Paulson, Republican, calling it one of the most successful general assemblies in the history of Iowa. Is there broad agreement on that?
Well, we should make clear that he was talking – we use the expression general assembly to refer to the 2 years that any legislature
the
served.
The 85th.
Right. So mm-hmm. that counts last year and this year. And Speaker Paulson made clear that he was talking about the 2 year General Assembly. And so he could, you know, grab up the accomplishments last year when the agenda was a lot broader and more extensive.
Let's talk about some of the successes of this 2014 session and maybe some of the disappointments. Let's start off with the fact that raising money for the state's infrastructure was expected to be one of the most hotly debated topics of this year, a fuel tax. Tell us what happened there.
Well, it just didn't have the – there's support from both parties in both the House and Senate on that. But the leaders never and I actually think there'd probably be votes in the legislature to pass a higher fuel tax because it has bipartisan support. But it was always clear that it would be difficult to raise taxes in an election year. And without Republicans and Democrats coming together, there's no and agreeing to both sides offer up some votes so it could be declared bipartisan and nobody could use it against you in the upcoming election, and there just wasn't the will to do that. But that's not going to go away. They'll be back again next year.
You see a window of opportunity in the next session, then after the election?
Possibly. I mean, it's. I think the momentum is building. It's been out there for several years, and like I said, bipartisan support for it. It was pretty obvious it wasn't going to happen in an election year.
Mm-hmm. We remember onto another topic, a failure in the failure category after the failure of his 2013 anti-bullying bill. The governor convened a second statewide anti-bullying summit. That was last fall. He introduced legislation early in the session. What happened there?
Well, the governor submits his bill, and then, both parties, the Republicans in the House and the Democrats in the Senate, take their crack at it. And what Democrats will argue is that what the House passed, in some people's view, actually weakened Iowa's anti-bullying statute. They did go along with the House did go along with the governor to expand the definition of bullying to include online activity by young people. And then the governor also wanted the school administrators to be able to take into account off-campus happenings and if those are affecting a child's activities at school. And the House didn't go along with that. I think the governor would have been all right with that, and maybe even the Democrats in the Senate might have been all right with that. But then the House went further and gave school administrators immunity from any kind of legal action in the case of bullying, of a bullying incident that, would go terribly wrong, a child harmed or even committing suicide, which happens, And so the House moved to give immunity to school administrators. Well, some people were arguing that actually weakened it. Not only were they not expanding Iowa's law very much, they were actually weakening it in that respect. So the Senate found that they couldn't go along with that. Now, there's a lot of name-calling now and blame. The governor's office is blaming the Democrats. I'm sure the Democrats would say, well, Governor, you should be working with people in your own party in the House to try to get something to the Senate that they could have signed. So there's a lot of name-calling back and forth on that.
Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell, the State House correspondent. We're reviewing the session after the adjournment at 8:50 this morning of the Iowa Senate. Let's talk about in the category of surprises. I understand that Senator Joe Bolcom of Iowa City admitted that the bill he introduced this session to allow medical marijuana was laughable, and that the issue was quickly dismissed as dead for this 2014 session. But then we did have an occurrence, a surprise toward the end. What happened?
Well, I think we've talked on this program before about this. Senator Bolcom, yes, he introduced this bill, and then he actually called a news conference to say that the bill is dead. I don't have the bipartisan support, he said. And the mothers of epileptic children were actually at this news conference, and they had this really visceral, strong reaction to Senator Bolcom saying that. They said, well, maybe we don't know that much about the legislature, but they haven't adjourned yet, and my gosh, why are you calling this bill dead? And they engaged in a really convincing lobbying effort. They lobbied for a very narrowly a drawn bill that only applies to epilepsy, what's called intractable epilepsy. No other ailments could be used. There's very, well-drawn rules on how you get permission to do that. In the end, they even made it harder. Initially, they said you could go to another state and another state could issue a card so that you could get this cannabis oil and you could bring it back into the state. That got taken out. So that's, they made it even tougher in the House, narrowed it in the House even more, limited the amount of this cannabis oil that you can have in your possession. And then up until, the middle, it was the middle of the night and it still wasn't clear whether the Republicans were going to bring this up. And they did, and then it passed by a very wide margin. I think it was like 77 to 20 or something like that.
We have just a couple minutes left, but what would you pull out as something we want to make sure we mention before we end this look back at highlights, successes and disappointments, and surprises?
Well, there was another surprise in the middle of the night. And I'll mention this because it also involved an active lobbying group. AIDS activists and others had lobbied very hard for a bill to update Iowa's HIV transmission laws that were passed long before there was a really modern understanding of the disease or much understanding of the disease at all. And that lobbying group was very visible. They worked very hard. They got a unanimous vote in the Senate. And then the bill stalled in the House. The gatekeeper on that was Representative Chip Baltimore, a Republican from Boone. And he was at odds with – there was support for that in the Republican caucus. He was at odds with his fellow Republicans. And he felt like that the bill that came over from the Senate, he said it wasn't strong enough as far as someone endangering a sexual partner by having sex when you have HIV infection. And Representative Baltimore wanted that to continue to be penalized, whether or not the person contracted the HIV. So in other words, he really wanted – he was looking at this from the viewpoint of reckless behavior. And he felt very strongly about that. A few days before the session was over, I asked him, is this bill dead? And he said, I don't know. I'm still working on it. And then I think it took a lot of people by surprise. This came up in the middle of the night, and there was no amendments, no opposition, so they passed the or no debate, I should say. I'm sure there was still some opposition, but there was no debate. They passed it, and that's final passage. So now that's headed to the governor. So a victory for another highly visible lobbying group at the Capitol this year.
Okay, Joyce Russell, thank you for that update on some of the highlights of the latest session of the Iowa Legislature, which adjourned this morning at 8:50. And you have earned yourself a good rest, Joyce Russell. Thanks for all the great reporting and cluing us in. Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell.
Okay, thanks, Ben.